So it's not just about, and I want to just talk a little bit about the country, but I want to talk about your own life and what God calls you and I to do as Christians, as believers, and to know that what you and I enjoy on a regular basis. Patty and I were praying this morning, and we were thanking God for the land that we live in, where there is countries around the face of the earth right now that many never thought was a reality, but because of the speed of news now, you can hear of Christians that are being attacked in another country, not only being attacked and their houses of worship being burnt down, but people going into there. And if you name the name of Christ, they will cut your head off. And you and I don't have to worry about that today. Amen. We drove here of our own volition. We came in. We sat down. We're sitting in. There's lighting in here. There's beautiful music. There's air conditioning going right now. We've got big screens up there that are showing us things. We've got it made, don't we? We are blessed. Come on. We are blessed. And if you're a born-again believer in Christ, you can never take for granted the life that He has provided for you and I. That it's not a right of ours. It's a privilege that we get to enjoy. In Ephesians 2, 8, 9, it says, by grace you're saved through faith. This is not of your own. This is a gift from God, not by works. You can't work your way into it. I work my way. I'm a good person. I'm a good man. I'm a good woman. No, you are not. The Bible says that none are righteous, no, not ones. The Bible says that your righteousness at best is nothing but filthy rags. But because of the love of Jesus, because of the grace of a loving God, He saved you, He forgave you, He cleaned you up, and now He set you in a place where you can live as a child of God and live for given and live free. That's a privilege that you and I get to have. We did not get there on our own. And in our country that we live in, we did not get here in our own as well. And I know the words, the Declaration of Independence, you should read it this weekend. One of these great lines that we read and that we know, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. That word unalienable means they are unrevocable, or they are a right. You can't take them back. That among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And when Jefferson penned these words concerning the pursuit of happiness, they were derived from a Scottish influence that meant wisdom and virtue and had nothing to do with hedonism and possessions. In other words, you and I have the right to pursue happiness. We have the right to pursue wisdom and virtue, to work for it, because it will not just land in your laps. And if we forget and never understand the price that was paid for that privilege and that honor, we may have the tendency to believe whatever we want, we have the right to it and not a privilege to it, because you and I have been given great gifts and great privileges. If we look at them as only as a right, we will never steward them in the way, in the fashion that we are called to do. That happens to do with our own walk with God. If you don't steward it the way God has called you to, you will never place an importance on it. And I truly believe and stand here today not as a right, and some may argue with that, but as a privilege we stand here. 241 years ago, 56 men, they pledged their lives, they pledged their fortunes, and they pledged their sacred honor. That's incredible, isn't it, though? You and I can make a difference, not only in our country, but also in the homes that we live in. I want to read this scripture, and I just want to close with these three thoughts. 1 Timothy chapter 2. I urge you then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercessions, thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God, our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. What can we do? Number one, you and I can pray. Paul says here that we need to pray. We need to do interceding. We need to be thankful for all people. I want to ask you today, are you one of the people that are praying for our country? The country is not perfect. Our leaders are far from perfect. But God does not call you and I to any other thing as believers in Jesus Christ, but to pray and to believe God for a revival to take place in the land that He has entrusted us with. That we can stand up against the plans of the enemy that are trying to defeat us and are trying to infiltrate not only into our country, but into our homes, into our personal lives. And never discount the power of prayer in our homes and our lives. Don't make the excuse that it doesn't do any good and that it can't change anything. My brothers and my sisters, when you and I pray, it moves mountains. It will change the course of your life. It will transcend anything else that you could ever do or think. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from wicked ways. He said, I'll hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin, and I'll heal their land. My goodness, my brothers and my sisters, like no other time, you and I need to pray for that. And we need to embody that. As Patty and I were praying this morning, I was saying, God, help us to walk away from things that are not pleasing to you, that are not healthy for our lives and healthy for the lives of the ones that we love, and embrace the things that will bring life and blessing and hope to our families. And prayer has been vital from the foundation of our country. I read this story this week that in the days when the Revolutionary Army were camped in Valley Forge, a farmer was walking towards the camp, and as he was stepping towards it, he heard a voice in the distance, and it was an earnest voice. It sounded like someone praying, and as he stepped closer, he looked through the trees, and he saw a sight that he would never forget. He saw George Washington on his knees, his cheeks wet with tears, and praying to God. And he calls this a reverent moment. And when the farmer got back home, he told his wife, George Washington will succeed. The Americans will achieve their independence. And his wife looked at her husband and said, what makes you think so? And the farmer replied, I heard him pray in the woods today, and the Lord will hear his prayer. He will hear his prayer. And amen. And as George Washington prayed for freedom, you and I are called to pray and to believe God for the kings and those who are in authority in our lands, from the smallest of those who are in authority right up to those who lead our nation. Pray for them. Pray for your country. Pray for your family. Pray for your children. Pray for your church. Believe God to change things that are around you. Stop your complaining and start your praying today. Second, we must long for the peace. Peace is not the absence of difficulty. It's not the absence of challenges, losses, or failures in our life. But it's God giving you the strength that you can move right through it. In verse 2, he says that we may live peaceful and quiet lives with godliness and holiness. Because when you and I pray, the peace of God begins to come into our lives. You'll hear the voice of God. He will tell you this is the way. Walk you in it. James 3:18 says, peacemakers who sow peace. Look at that word. Who sow peace will reap a harvest of righteousness. Proverbs 12:20 says that deceit is in the hearts of those who plot evil. But those who promote peace they have joy. Are you a peacemaker? Because when you are, you will have joy not only in your own life, but you will have joy in your home. You will have joy in your family. You will live in a perpetual state of joy. Not absence of trouble, not absence of hurt, not absence of disappointment. But God will come into your life. He will give you the peace that passes all understanding. Peace will he give to you. Isaiah says, whose mind is fixed or stayed on him. The peace of God. Oh, come on. I thank God for that peace today. Let me tell you something. Amen. Come on. If you're going to clap, clap for Jesus. You can be facing the hardest times of your life. You can be going through one of the most debilitating times of your life. But when you pray and when you ask God to have your life and to take your life over, he circumvents the pain that you're going through. He doesn't take it out of the way, but he gives you the opportunity to have peace right in the middle of it. And the third, God desires good for you and your family. The Bible says in verse 3 and 4, he said, this is good and it pleases God our Savior who wants all people. Listen to that. Look at that scripture. All people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Amen. What an opposite picture many people have of God and who look at God as someone who wants to damn everybody to hell. And in fact, they go around asking him to do that very thing. And so people get their minds associated with a God who's judgmental, who's hateful, who's waiting to hurt them. And the very opposite is true. The very opposite is the nature of God, that he desires that all be saved and that all come to a knowledge of him. Listen, God, he's speaking through his prophet Ezekiel, is crying in the wilderness, and he says in Ezekiel 33:11, say to them, as surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, I will take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their ways and live. And I love how he says this, and I looked at a dozen translations, and it says this just like it, turn from your evil ways. Why will you die, people of Israel? And he's saying that to you and I today. Peter says in 2 Peter 3:9 that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to a knowledge of who he is. The Bible says that he loves you so much that he sent Jesus into the world to die for you. And if we read on in 1 Timothy 2, chapter 5, or verse 5, 1 Timothy 2:5, he says there is one mediator and one mediator between God and men. That is Christ Jesus. There is no other name above heaven and earth why we must be saved. That's the name of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through him. And God is not willing that anyone walk out of here today carrying the same train that you came in on, carrying the same load that you carried in. He's saying, I've come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. He said, I've come to set the captive free. What does that mean? Those people who are held hostage by the failures of their past or by the choices in their present. God says, I've come to liberate you out of that and to set you free so that you can live. Come on. Do you believe that today? And just because you and I live in America does not mean that we are automatically Christians. Although I truly believe this country was built on Christian values, the United States of America, just because it's called the US of A, does not make it a Christian nation. Just because people walk in here and say, oh, I'm an American, that means I'm a Christian. No, it does not. You are a Christian if you name the name of Jesus Christ. You are a Christian if you give your heart to him and ask him to forgive you of your past and your sins and ask him to come and live into your life. That's what makes you a Christian. You are a Christ follower when you relinquish the things of old and you apprehend the things that he wants to bring to you now. And I want to give you an opportunity to do that this morning. I want you to just close your eyes and bow your head with me. I'm going to pray with you this morning, and I'm going to pray for you that God would do something great in your life. And that you would leave here today. Maybe some of you, you've come and you thought, just by coming to church, that makes me a Christian. It's a great step in that direction. But that's not what it takes. It takes you giving your life to Him. It takes you coming to a place where you want a personal relationship with Him. Oh, my goodness. I think of the people that went before me, even as we watched that video, that we can live in a land that's free. And you drove here today. You walked in. Well, praise God. Thank God. And we'll walk out today. There'll be people out there. They're cooking right now to be a blessing to you. That's not a right. That's a privilege that we have. And that's because of Jesus. Maybe you're here today and you've never given your life to Him. You need to do that before you leave. You may be in the middle of just a real challenge. You know, troubles never take a holiday. Did you ever notice that? Trouble never takes a holiday. In fact, for some, these times of the year just bring out more pain, more trouble, and create more issues. The Lord said, I've come to help you with that today. He wants to come and live inside of your life today. Dad, He wants to help what's going on in your family today. Mom, He wants to help what's happening in your children's lives. And even for some kids here, He wants to help your parents today. I don't know, just pray together as a family today. If you've not given your life to Christ, you can do it right where you're at. Just say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and my life. I ask You to be my Lord and my Savior. Do that. Do that before you leave. I just need a couple people to come up and stand with me. So if you need prayer at the end of, well, I'm going to close in prayer here in just a moment. If you need prayer, if you gave your life to Christ today, just come on down here. They'll give you a Bible to pray with you. Maybe things have just been going really tough. You're wondering, when is it going to end? When is it going to change? Give your life to Him. Give it all. Don't hold anything back. Don't just give it to Him on a Sunday morning. Give it all. Walk out of here. Leave your burden at the cross and embrace a loving God, a Savior that has come into the world. The Apostle Paul says, to save sinners of whom I am the chief. Father, I pray today for each and every one that is here. I pray Your hand to be upon them in a mighty way. I pray liberty and hope. I pray grace, Lord, and we pray for the country that You have entrusted us to steward. We pray for those who are in authority from the top down to the least. I ask You, Lord, that they would call out to You for help. And the God that as they do, Lord, we know You, when we call, You answer. Now, God, I pray great grace upon every life here today, great strength, great blessing, great favor. I pray for families today, You'll bring them closer together. Lord, that strife will not be a part of their home this weekend, in the coming weeks, as they come closer to You, God. Let them know that You have a great plan for their lives. Bless them now, I pray. In the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. Amen. I love you. Come on, can you give the Lord one more praise? You need prayer today, come on down. You want to give your life to Christ, come on down. Let these people know. Just pray. They want to pray for you. On your way out, go right straight out. They're cooking out there for you. They want to bless you on the way. They got a little gift to give you out there as well. Come on, let's go the distance for the Lord. I love you. Go in His grace today. You come down.